Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf. We begin by the Mishnah about a quarter of the way down on the Daf already. And the Mishnah begins, Matzilin Sal Mole Kikoros. Again, we're talking here about a fire in Shabbos and what you're allowed to do in order to save things that you might have in your house. So here we're talking about a basket that's full of loaves of bread. So you have this Sal Mole Kikoros. So Afa Pishiesh Bo Mea Sudos, even though there's many, many sudos inside this large basket. We previously see it said, and the Gemara is going to ask, that you're only allowed to save three sudos on Friday night, two sudos on Shabbos morning, and one suda on Shabbos afternoon, each of them for the appropriate meal on Shabbos, or the appropriate meals left that you have on Shabbos. And here we're going to say you can save this basket, have hundreds of sudos. Yesh bo mea sudos, you're allowed to go and save it. And we'll see in the Gemara what the difference is between our Mishnah and the previous Mishnah. In any event, you are allowed to save them if they're all in one basket. Likewise, the eagle shodvelo, you have this big cake of figs. So they used to press the figs into this big cake. That's many, many, many meals worth, much more than three. Likewise, a chaver shoyayin, a barrel of wine, that's much more wine than you would drink at three meals. So the Tanakama holds that you are allowed to go and say this. And you can even go, v'omer l'acherim, and even tell other people that are there, bo'o v'atzilo l'chem. Listen, I have this food here. It's going to get burned up in the fire. If anybody wants to come and take it, go and take it for yourselves. Bo'o v'atzilo l'chem. And the Mishnah tells us in Hayu Pichlin that these are smart people. They would say after Shabbos, Osanim Ocheshbon Achar Shabbos. They would say, listen, I worked for you for an hour taking out your food. Here's your food back, but at least pay me a laborer's fee for working for you on Shabbos. The Gemara is going to question, there's so many problems over here with this. How are they allowed to do this if they're good people? So why are they asking for Schar Shabbos? The Gemara will discuss this. Mishnah continues and says, Lehecha Matzilin Oson, to where are you allowed to take it out from this house? So Tanakama says, L'chotzeh HaMorevis, you're only allowed to bring it out from the house into a chotzeh that has an eiv around it. A chotzeh were the front yards that were jointly owned by multiple people. If it was only your private front yard, there's no problem. You can carry from your rishus to your rishus. You're not going through any other rishuyos. However, here we're talking about a publicly owned, more than one person owns this front yard, and therefore, while it's a rishus ha-yachid, it technically means the rice you can carry from rishus ha-yachid to another rishus ha-yachid. So the rabbis instituted that it looks too much like carrying from your house into rishus ha-rabim. So therefore, they said, unless you make an erev chatzeros to demonstrate that this is a single rishus ha-yachid, you're not allowed to do this. So you're only allowed to bring it out into an area that has an erev chatzeros around it. In other words, a chotzer ha-me'orevis. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Ben Beseir is Momekel. Ben Beseir Omer, he says, no, Aflisha ain't no Morevis. You're even allowed to bring this out into a yard that didn't have an Erev Chatzeros. It's Rishus HaYochid. You're allowed to bring it out there. There is no problem in doing so. And therefore, that is the halacha. Ulusha Motzi Kol Klei Teshmisho. Likewise, you can bring out any utensils that you have in the house. If you're using them over here, Rashi says, it's Rishon only Oswayo, that you need them for that day. Anything that you're going to need for that day. So therefore, you're allowed to go bring it out. He says, could go in kosos or ketonios for various cups and jugs and things like that. For lovish, komashel halibos. And likewise, you're allowed to wear anything that you want to wear out. So if you can wear it out, you put on a coat, then you go outside, you put on another coat, you go outside, take it off. So you're allowed to do this. Voltev komashel halato. And likewise, you can do a tifa. A tifa is like a wrapping yourself up in a garment. So you can put on this wrap, and then they can take it outside, take another wrap out. So you're allowed to do all of these things. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi may know. There's only Shmonos or Kalim. There are 18 utensils. Gemara is going to specify what these utensils are. Mefarish Lubu Gemara Rashi says, Shekein Derech Leloshon Bechol Yachad, that these 18 garments are worn all together on a weekday. So therefore, you're allowed to take them all out. Avot Tvei Mihachi Rashi says, Lo, you're not allowed to take out more than that. And you're not allowed to go wear out a whatever you're wearing and take it off outside, then come back inside and put on new clothing. Ain't no post on Lazo Lubosh Ulahat Salachirim. That's the opinion of Yossi. You're not allowed to go do that. So you can only take out the Shmonos or Kalim. The Chose of Elovishumotzi, according to the Tanakama, he says you are allowed to go and go back inside and take out more. And likewise, the Tanakhama says, you can tell other people, Bo Vatsilu imi, come and help me over here and take out clothing. Wear clothing out, take clothing out, and help me out. Notice it says over here, Vatsilu imi, and before it said, Vatsilu lochem, the Gemara will point out that discrepancy as well. Gemara starts off and says that our Mishnah seems to contradict the previous Mishnah, yesterday Shia. V'otonu le'reisha shalosh sudos. The reisha here means the reisha of this Mishnah. The Mishnayis and the Gemara are broken up, and the Mishnayis and the Mishnah, they're all together. So this is called the reisha is yesterday Shia, where we said that you're only allowed to take out three meals. So here it says you can take out even a mea sudos. What's going on? For Tanale Reisha, Shalosh Sudos, we said previously, you're only allowed to take out three meals. So we have two Terutzim. Amar Ravuna says, Lokash, there's no discrepancy between yesterday's Mishnah and today's Mishnah. Kan, Mibala Hatzil. Here we're talking about, Rashi says, Shehitzil Basal Echot. It's all in one basket. Kiditani Sal Mole Kikoros. Everything's in one basket. And therefore, Rashi explains, Veino Toreach. You're carrying out this basket. It's one effort. So if has the fact that it has 100 suitors inside of it is no different than that 2 suitors inside of it. You're making one effort to carry out this basket. And therefore, matzil kol masha basal. You're allowed to go and take everything out of the basket. It's one effort. And therefore, mali porta, mali tuva. What difference does it make? It's filled a little bit or filled a lot. You're making one effort over here. You may be a little bit heavier. That's not the concern. You're making one effort. So therefore, you're not going to have any limitation in our Mishnah because it's in one basket. The previous Mishnah was talking about Kan Bibola Kapel. Rashi explains, Salim Harve Zem Zeh. So you had many, many baskets. And it's a lot of a tircha to take out many, many baskets. Litroach Vela Oslam to work hard to gather them, the lachzer, and then to go back inside, losian mazun gimusud, it's another. That you're not allowed to do. You're only allowed to do one tircha, so you can take it out. Three baskets for three meals, but you can't go and take out multiple baskets, and therefore, the previous mission was only three meals, and here it's one basket, you can take out even 100 sudos. That's teretz number one. Bol hatzio, matzil is kula. So therefore, if you're taking out a single basket, you're allowed to go and take as much as in that one basket. Now, bol kapel, but if you're carrying out multiple baskets, enam kapel, a mazal shalosh sudos. You only have to take out the amount for three sudos. The Mefarshim point out that even if you're going to put these baskets into one larger basket, that's still a problem that you have the individual baskets. The Gemara will ask in a moment, what about if you pour it all into one basket? So it's no longer in the original separate baskets. The Gemara will ask that in a moment. But this is teretz number one from Rav Huna. Rav Abba or Zavda or Rav, he gives a different teretz. He says, both of them are talking about that they are in fact in multiple baskets. They're bola kapel. So what's the difference? The lokasha, how come our Mishnah says even 100 and that Mishnah says only 3? Because it depends where you're bringing it to. Kanli osu chotzer, in our Mishnah, where you're bringing it into a single courtyard, into one chotzer, so then you can bring out as much as you want. And the previous Mishnah was Kan L'chotzer Cheres. So you're talking about bringing it out into different courtyards, so you're limited in that situation to go and bring it only into one courtyard, three meals into one courtyard. That is the difference between the two of them. There's a lot more effort involved than going into multiple courtyards, and therefore the rabbis didn't allow it. Now we continue. We ask another question. Boy Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, he asked the following question. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, asked this Shaila. Piresh Taliso. He spread out his talis. Again, talis means a garment of some sort. It doesn't mean like what we wear a talis. It means the garment that they were wearing, the cloak that they were wearing. So, piras taliso, he spread this out. The kipel v'hiniach. He then poured the food onto this talis. So he had a basket of food, and he dumped it onto this spread out, like, tablecloth, this big cloak that he has over here. The kipel v'hiniach. He did this a couple of times. So now, this is what I said we did get to in a moment. They're not in separate baskets anymore. He dumped out the contents onto one basket, onto one cloak over here. My, how do we view this? Is this kibola hatzul dom? Is this now the roll in one basket, and therefore you're allowed to take out one basket, even if there's 100 suitors in it? Oh, kibola kapel dom. Or is this like taking out multiple baskets in one large basket? They're all still in their original baskets, and therefore you're not allowed to take out more than three sudos. That's the question that Rav Huna Breda Yeshua asked. So Gemara says, I mean, to all my Rava, Rava's going to give us a teretz over here. From the fact that Rava said, some even have the gears over here, Toshma. You see this in the Bach, Anos Aleph. So Rava said, me to all my Rava, Ate Rav Shizvi, Rav Chizda v'darashte. Rav Shizvi said something incorrectly in front of Rav Chizda, and he darshan incorrectly. And he said, we'll see in a moment what was the mistake over here. We had this in yesterday's shiur when we had the braisa. It said if the barrel of wine broke on your roof, you're allowed to bring one kli and collect the wine in that new kli. And Rav Shizvi mistakenly darshan and said, you're not allowed to bring a kli that's machzik yosef mishalosh sudos. So from the fact, Rava says that Rav Shizvi was incorrect in that, it means that the correct halach is shmaminah, that you are allowed to, in fact, bring a kli, and you're allowed to put in as much as you want. And therefore, v'shapa dami. In this case, where you're putting all the food into the talis, it's like the situation of the first case that you have bola hatzil, it's all in one big basket, and you can even go take 100 seudos. So therefore, Rava answers the question. The Rav Huna Brei, the Rav Yeshua says in the positive that if you appear as talis, if you spread out your talis, then you can carry out as much as you want. Now, what exactly was going on over here? Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak L'Rava. What exactly was wrong with what Rishizi said, that you're allowed to go bring out a kli as long as it doesn't have more than 3 sudos worth, it doesn't hold more than 3 sudos? What was his mistake? What was wrong with that? So Rava says, on the way, Diktani, because read that Brisa carefully, he says, kli acher v'yiklo. He says, once you bring one kli, you then can't bring another kli, or kli acher v'yitzarit, another kli there to go collect the wine that's coming off the roof. So it says, kli acher hudalo. You're not allowed to bring a second utensil, implying Abo Bahal Mana with the first utensil, Kamar the Boy Matzah, but you'll have to go and put whatever you want in the first utensil, could be as large as you want. Okay, that's what Rava felt, that Rav Shizbi was wrong. Rav Shizbi has a different opinion, but Rava said, from the fact that he holds that Rav Shizbi is wrong, so that answer that you're allowed to bring even a larger kli, so you're allowed to take the talis and put everything you want in the talis and carry it out, that's one tircha, and that's allowed. I think Mordechai said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to go and take an eagle shel tevela, or if you want, you can take a barrel of wine and carry it out. It's not a problem. And then it said, if they were smart, he would ask people to come and help him. He said, if they were smart, then they would go and ask for their wages after Shabbos. So Mordechai says, Cheshbo Mayavite, what are you talking about here? They would ask for their wages. They would ask for, you know, I worked for you for an hour, pay me for an hour's work. Leiv Kerik Kazahu, it was Hefker. Once the fire is there and he's not allowed to take it out, so then it's essentially as if he's given up hope on it, and therefore it's hefker. And if something is hefker, why do they have to pay him back at all? They can keep the food. Why do they have to ask for laborer's wage? They can keep the food. That's a better deal for them than asking for wages. So Gemara says, Amar Chista, Midas Chasidus Shanukan. We're dealing over here with people that are doing a chesed. They're chasidim over here. And therefore, if they're chasidim, so they're not going to keep the food. Rashi says, Shemach Zirlo. They know that this guy didn't really make it hefker. The fire made it hefker, so to say, and therefore they're going to give him back the food. So Rava says, okay, I'm a Rava. So then if they're chasidim, chaside, agu de shabos or shokle, if there's such big chasidim over here, Rashi says, loshem bismia, im chasidim heim, yeshel mevater, mishalhem, behold over, sheyesh bo nid nud aveira. They should want to stay as far away from an aveira here as possible, and you're not allowed to work on Shabbos for money. So they should say, here, I did a chesed for you, here's your food back, and I certainly don't want to get paid for it. What are you telling me? If they were smart, they would want to get paid for it. Doesn't make any sense. So Rava says as follows, Elo Amar Rava, Rava says, we're not talking about chasidim over here, we're talking about Yorei Shemayim. Yorei Shemayim is a lower level than a chosid. Hocha, B'Yorei Shemayim Askin, we're dealing over here with people who are God-fearing people, they're good people, but they're not chasidim, they're not on that high madrega. V'lo Nichalei, the Lisani Mechem, they don't want to benefit over here when the other person's losing out. The other person, Nebuch, had the fire, so they're going to benefit while this guy has the fire, that they're not interested in doing. However, to do a chesed for free, that they're also not willing to do. Hey, I can go take my Shabbos shluf. I could be learning. I could spend time with my children. I don't want to go take out all the food from your house and save it for you unless you're going to pay me. Therefore, this is what they're saying. In my opinion, if they were smart, the yode the chi haygadna lav schar Shabbosu. In this situation, they're not really taking money for working on Shabbos. So that's not a problem in this situation. As Rashi says, the Mastitzin lav pichin bidin komar lito as haroy lohem, dimkin yakvo akol. If they were, that's what I'm about, that they're just going to keep all the food themselves, they technically are allowed to do that. So then they wouldn't be called pichim. But it says that the Yorei Shemayim over here, and if they're pichim behilchus Shabbos, and if they're smart in knowing hilchus Shabbos, and they know, the chi haigadna lav schar Shabbos hu. This is technically not wrong. The miyakora lav adaiti the schar pu'ula nochis osanimo cheshbon. So they're not doing this to make money on Shabbos. After the fact, they did a chesed to this guy, now they want to be paid for their chesed. So chasidim they're not, Yorei Shemayim they are. Yorei Shemayim that they're not taking schar Shabbos. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, Mishnah tells us if they wish to, osanimo cheshbon liachar Shabbos, they can make a deal with him after Shabbos. Because they weren't doing this beforehand. They weren't saying, if you pay me $10 an hour, I'll go take out the food. No, they did the chesed, but they said afterwards, no, I'm looking for a reward. I want to be paid for the time I spent. So that they're allowed to do. That's a Yorei Shemayim, not a chosid, but a Yorei Shemayim who knows the Hilchos Shabbos. Then the Mishnah said, where are you going to bring this food out to? So the Tanakhama said, you can only bring it out to a Chotzim Ureves. And we had the opinion of the Ben Beseira that said you could bring it out even into a courtyard that was not Me'ureves. Right? We said in the Mishnah, Af L'Sheinu Me'ureves. That's what the Ben Beseira said. Ma'ishno Hocho. So how come over here, Diktani Lochem? Look at the language. Here's where I pointed out before that it said with the food, it said, if you want to come and help, Bo Vitzilu Lochem. And at the end, with the clothing, it said, Bo Vitzilu Imi. Come and help me. So why is this changing the law? Ma'ishno Hocho Diktani Lochem. Ma'ishno Hocho Diktani Imi. So what's the difference? So the Gemara says, Amre, Gabi Mizonas, in regards to the food, Tani Lechem, he said, you can go help yourselves, because Mishum Delo Kochazu Ela Mazon Shalosh Sudas. I can't eat more than three meals on the Shabbat, so therefore I'm only allowed to take out the three meals worth of food. And anything else is not for me, it's for yourself. But with clothing, Abu Gabi Levushim, yeah, people, they wear one suit on Friday night, then they put on a new suit for Shabbos morning, then they put on a new suit to take a Shabbos Shpatzir, then they put on a new suit for Mincha, they put on a new suit for Marv. That you're allowed to do. Therefore, Abu Gabi Levushim, Tani Yimi, because Mishum the Kochazi Le Lukul Yoma, because you can wear as many clothing as you want. They're not limited with three meals. You can wear 10 clothing, so therefore, come and take out clothing for me, as opposed to the food, take it out for you. Mari says, Tana Rabbanu, we'll bring down another rice, Lovesh Motzi Uposhe. We said that you're allowed to go and wear the clothing, go outside, take it off, and then Chozer, go back inside, the Lovesh, put on new clothing, Umotzi, take it outside, Uposhe, and take it off. Bafilu Kol Yom Kulo. You can do this all day long. Divrei Rav Meir. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. That goes like the Tana Kama of our Mishnah. Rav Yossi in our Mishnah and Rav Yossi in the Braisa disagree. Rav Yossi Omer, Shmona Tzokelim. You're only allowed to take out 18 specific garments, as we pointed out from Rashi before. These are the garments that you would wear normally at one time. What exactly are these garments? What are the nature of these garments? Shmon Osu Kalim, Eluheim Shmon Osu Kalim, these are the 18 garments. So we don't know exactly what some of these words are. Rashi gives you foreign language translations for some of them. I'll do the best as I can. The first one is miktorin. So Rashi explains this miktorin is a foreign word that looks like a mantle, some sort of a cloak. Unkali, the next one, Rashi says, is lovush rochav. It's some sort of a wide garment. He gives it a foreign language term as well, a couple of different terms. And this is translated as some sort of a garment on the outside of your body. Some suggest it's some sort of an overcoat. Fine. And then punda, Rashi explains over here, punda is ezer cholo mi'al limadav. So this is some sort of a belt that's hollow, and it goes on the outside of your clothing. So it's some sort of an outer gartel. Then it says, kalbus shel pishton. You're allowed to wear this kalbus shel pishton. Rashi gives, again, a foreign language term for this, which, again, the Targum Laz tells us some sort of a vest of some sort, a chaluk, that's like some sort of a cloak. Vapilios, this is some sort of a garment, Rashi says, that you wear around your body. Some sort of a toga, sodin, some sort of a cloth that you wear, that you wrap around the sati bokulo. And then you have mafores. Rashi says mafores is la'atif rosho, is some sort of a kerchief or a head covering. Ushne sefarkin. Rashi says a foreign language word is some sort of a leg covering. Ushne minolim, shoes, that we know minolim are shoes. Ushne anpilos, that we know is socks. And ushne pargod. You can have these two items called pargod. Rashi explains, this is a foreign language word. He says another foreign language word for it. This is something that is, again, some sort of a leg covering as well. So all of these things people wear, as well as v'chagor shebimostav. This is an inner belt that you have. The kovash brosho and a hat on your head. The suda shebetzavaro and some sort of a scarf. So all of these 18 things a person would wear at the same time on a weekday, and therefore you can carry them out on Shabbos, but no more, according to Rav Yossi, neither in the Mishnah nor in the Braisa. That's Rav Yossi's opinion. Next Mishnah. Rav Shimon ben Anan Somer. Rav Shimon ben Anan says, parson or shel gedi. Here again, we're talking about a fire, and you want to save something. So he says you're allowed to spread out this hide from a gedi, from a goat. Rashi says that this is lach, it's still moist. So therefore, it's not going to burn. So you're allowed to spread this out. Al gabe shida teva umigdo. You can wrap this over, put this over on these various types of trunks, different size trunks. Teva, umigdo, and shida are different types of chests or trunks. Sha'achas ben esur. So the fire is already caught on part of it, so you can put this on top of it. And mipnei shu mecharech. This will only get singed and it won't catch on fire because it's moist. It's lach, Rashi says, and therefore it will protect the shida teva umigdo. Furthermore, va'osim mechitza b'kol hakelim. You can make a mechitza of all your utensils, barrels, or whatever it is, whether they're full or whether they're empty, in order to prevent the fire from going. This will stop the fire in its tracks. So it will prevent the fire from going through. Obviously, they're not flammable, or they won't allow the fire to go through in some way. That's the opinion of Tanakhama. That's either Rav Shimon ben Anas or that's the Chacham. Rav Yossi says, no, you can't do this. If you're using B'kli Cheres Chadoshim, if they're brand new earthenware utensils, Malayimayim, and they're filled with water, they're going to break. Lefish Ein Yicholim L'Kabos War, they can't withstand the heat, and they're going to break, and the water will come out. They misbakim, as the barrels break, Mulchabin said, like, it's going to put out the fire. You're not allowed to do this. This is a Gram Kibur. You're causing the Kibur to occur, and you're not allowed to do this. Tomorrow we'll discuss this all in greater detail. Gemara starts off and says, "Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Talis Shochas Bahaur Mitzad Echod." If you have this talis, again, this garment that has caught part of it on fire, and the other part is not yet on fire, so Nos Dinolel Maya Mitzad Acher, you're allowed to go put water on the other side. Tosa says you can't really put water on it. He brings out for the Rashbam and says that Lav Davka Ala Talis, but you put the water near the talis. And Tosa says, I discussed this earlier on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, we said that maybe you would be allowed to put it on the garment. Why is it not a problem of Malabain? Right? That's the problem of putting the water directly on the garment. It's Malabain. As the Rashbam brings down over here from Zvachim, is put that in Tosa. The Bebegit Shriyoso Zeo Kibuso, wetting the Begit, that's its cleaning. So Tosa was earlier on Kuf Yud Aleph told us that if you go and wet something that's not dirty, that's not called cleaning it. So either one of these two terutzim over here is what we're talking about. So you can get the water on the other part of the talis, directly, indirectly, and then if the fire goes out, when it reaches there, no problem. You're allowed to do this. This is a gram kibur that you're allowed to do. So more questions is, right? Meisvei, really? Rabbi Yehuda Marab, you're allowed to do this? But we learned, talis shochas bo'or mitzadechot, we have another braisa. It says exactly the same situation where the fire is caught onto one part of the talis. So all that brisa says you're allowed to do it. Rehu Dama Rab is an Amori. You can't argue with a brisa, even though we say Rab Tanu Apollo, we don't like to say that. So here it says that in this other brisa, that all you're allowed to do is poshta, to let it out, spread it all out. Umitzkasibah, and you can put it on yourself. No, vim kovsa kovsa. And in doing this and spreading it out, the fire will not be able to go so easily through the rest of the garment, and if the fire therefore goes out, you're allowed to do that. But it doesn't say you can put water on it. Likewise, the chain sefer Torah shochas bo'or. If the sefer Torah has a little bit of fire on it, so you're allowed to spread it out. Poshto, again, you stretch it out. The koribo, you can read from it in terms of stretching it out. It's not the reading; it's the stretching it out that's important. The umkava cover, and then if the fire goes out, the fire went out. Now, in both of these situations, it said you're only allowed to do the poshto. It didn't say you could put water on it. So how could Rav Yehuda Amarav say you can put water on it? That's the question. Turn to Yom Beis. So the Gemara answers that Rabbi Yehuda Amarav holds like the opinion of Hoda Omar Ki Rabbi Shimon Ben Anas. He holds like Rabbi Shimon Ben Anas, who says that you can even put the hide, the moist hide of the Gedi on top of the Shida Teva Migdal. That's allowed. That's Gram Kiboy. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Ben Anas says you're allowed to do Gram Kiboy. As Rashi says, the Shari Likuvi Deleka Biar Gedi. So to over here, you're allowed to do Gram Kiboy by putting the water on it. Mor says, wait a second, that's not what Rav Shimon ben Anas said. Hey, what did Rav Shimon ben Anas say? He says, it won't get burned. That's why you can put this moist gedi hide on it, because it'll only get singed, it won't catch fire. Who says, Gram Kibur Miyor? He didn't say you'll have to put out the fire. So you can't bring me a raya to Rav Yehuda Marav from Rav Shimon ben Anas. He's not saying the same thing. Mor says, yes, he is. In. Read it very carefully. Read our Mishnah. Mikdutani Sefer. What does it say after Rav Shimon ben Anas' opinion? It says, Rav Yossi holds, Oser b'kli cheres chadoshim milei mayim. He says, you can't put out new barrels, earthenware barrels that are filled with water, because shein michol mekabos or, they can't hold their fire, they're going to break with the fire, they misbak it, and then mechabin esedleika, and that's going to be a gram kiboy. And Rav Yossi doesn't allow gram kiboy. That implies mechlal, the Tanakhama shari, that the Tanakhama, in fact, does allow gram kiboy. And therefore, in this situation, Rav Yehuda Marav holds, like Rav Shimon ben Anas, the Tanakhama, that you're allowed to do this. Gemara continues and says, Tanu Rabbanon ner shal gabi tavla. If you have a lamp that is on top of some sort of a plate, a tavla, a tray of some sort, minaris a tavla, you want to get the lamp off the tavla so you can use the tavla, so you're allowed to tilt or shake the tavla, v'hino felas, and the lamp will fall off, and then no problem, and you can use the tavla. However, the imkovsa, the lamp goes out, by you shaking it off, imkovsa, no problem, it was indirect, and this is allowed. That wasn't your intention, so this is allowed. So Gemara says, wait a second, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ela B'Shochech. This was only allowed if you forgot that the lamp was on the tavla. You put it there and didn't realize it. However, you intentionally put it there, Avo Meniach, so you intended this tavla to be the base for this lamp, so then Nasis Basis L'Davar Asur. So then the tavla itself became a Basis L'Davar Asur, was the base for a Davar Asur, and therefore, in that situation, you can't move the tavla. So therefore, you couldn't shake off the lamp from it. Tana, we learned in another Braisa, Ner Sha'achori Hadelis. If you have a lamp that is behind a door, this means that when you open the door, the lamp could blow out. Nevertheless, poseach v'nol kedarku. You're allowed to open and close the door in the normal way, and if the wind comes and blows out the lamp, nishkefer lech v'kavsa kavsa. That wasn't your intention, and that's allowed. Rav didn't like this. Whoever this price, or author this price, Rav said, layit alo Rav. Rav was unhappy about this. He cursed, so to say, anybody, Rashi says, I'll call Hamorin King, if somebody paskin like this price. Or says, why? Amalei Ravina, Ravacha Bre the Rava. Ravina asked Ravacha Bre the Rava, why was Rav so upset about this? Others say, Amalei Ravacha Bre the Rava said it to Ravashi. Whoever it was that said this, is my time, Elayah to lay Rav. Why was Rav so upset about this that he cursed whoever made such a psak halacha? Okay, you want to tell me, Elayah, Mamishum, the Rav, Sova, like Rehuda. Rav holds like Rehuda, says the Dovashin Miskavi is Osir. So even though you had no intention of the lamp being blown out by the open door, it's irrelevant, and therefore you're chayiv. So, okay, Rav holds like Rav Yehuda. Does that mean the Tana, Tani Lo, Rav Shimon, anybody that doesn't hold like Rav Yehuda, they hold like Rav Shimon, that says the Dov Shinam is Kavi, is Potter. So, Rav's going to curse them? Mishum, the Rav sold like Rav Yehuda, called the Tani Rav Shimon, Melat Layitle? Just because somebody holds not like Rav, but he has a valid, authoritative, halachic opinion that they're following. So, if you hold like Rav, did you hold like Rav Yehuda? Anybody that holds like Rav Shimon deserves to be cursed? That can't be it. So Amalei, so whoever it was that asked the question to either Rina asked it to Ravacha Bre the Rava, or it was Ravacha Bre the Rava who answered the Ravashi, they responded and said, Baha, in this situation, the reason why Rav was upset and he cursed the person because Afilu Rabbi Shimon Moda. In this situation, even Rabbi Shimon would be Moda that that's not allowed. Why? Because we said this many, many times. The Abaye and Rava, the Amir Tavai, both Abaye and Rava held that Moda Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon was Moda. He agreed. She the psik reisha lo yomos, that if it's going to happen automatically, 100% of the time it's going to happen, you're not allowed to do it, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, another statement the review of the May. This one not in the name of Rav. Poseach Odom Deles Kineged Medur B'Shabbos. A person is allowed to open up a door, Kineged a torch, a Medura, on Shabbos. And even though this Medura is going to get the air blowing in from the outside, now here we're not concerned that it's going to blow it out, but it's actually going to stoke the fire. It's like putting a bellows on a fire. So it's going to give it oxygen, and it's going to make the fire flash up. That's allowed. Mor says, Layit Ale Abaya. Abaya was unhappy about this, and he cursed anybody that follows this psak over here of Rav Yehuda. Mor says, Maiskin, what are we talking about? Why was Abaya so upset? Ilema Baruch Mitsuri. If you're talking about a regular wind, so when you open up the door with a regular wind, my time at the Mount Yosef. Why would somebody say that this is Osir, that Abaya would be so unhappy that somebody followed this? They could hold like the opinion of Rav Shimon. I, Psik Reisha, this is not a Psik Reisha. If it's a Ruach Mitsuya, it's not a psik reisha that it will automatically go and flare up the fire. So therefore, why would this be a concern? And if it's an abnormal wind, it's a hurricane, so then, my time of the mind of the shari, everybody say this is not allowed. You can't open up the door if there's a huge wind coming in. When you open up the door, then it's a psik reisha. Of course, it's going to stoke up the fire. Shmuel says, Lolem Ruach Metsuya. We're talking here about a Ruach Metsuya. So what's the machlokas then? Why did Rabbi Yehuda allow it and Abaye was upset about it? So Marsovar Gazrina. Abaye says that we have to make a gzer over here. If we allow you to do it in a Ruach Metsuya, you may come to do it in a Ruach She'ena Metsuya. And the opinion of Yehuda was, no, we don't have to make such a gzer. Marsovar Lo Gazrina. We don't make such a gzer. Then we go to the Mishnah. We quote the Mishnah that said, Osim Mechitza Vechule. We said in the Mishnah that the Tanakhama said you're allowed to go make these all these rows of barrels, filled or unfilled, and they can block the fire. And Rav Yossi said, no, you can't do that because if you use the new earthenware utensils, they're not fully formed yet. They have water inside of them. They're going to break, and that water will put out the fire. So the Tanakhama is not worried over here, and Rav Yossi is worried about a gram kibui. Now, that seems to be the opposite opinion that we're going to see, that Rav Yossi is more machmir over here than the Chachamim. In the Braisa, Rav Yossi is going to be more makel than the Chachamim. That's why Tosus understands this Gemara. So Gemara says, L'meimra, the Rabbanim Sabri, Gram Kibui is Mutter. Our Mishnah seems to say that the Rabbanim, either this is Rav Shimon ben Anas, or the Rabbeinu Chananel says this is the Rabbanim that we have in the Mishnah that are unnamed, which may or may not be Rav Shimon ben Anas. In any event, that implies that the the Chachamim or Rav Shimon Menanis in our Mishnah, the Tanakam in our Mishnah, they hold that Gram Kibui is mutter. They're not concerned that the fire will break the barrels and the water will come out. Gram Kibui is permissible. Rav Yossi Sabar, Gram Kibui is also. He holds no. We have to be concerned about that. But this brisa that we're now going to bring around, that we're now going to bring, seems to say otherwise. For if Choshamin and Lo, we learned otherwise in a brisa. What is that? The Tanya. That's not exactly otherwise. Tosus points out Lab Dafka that it's exactly the opposite. However, Tosus Dibru Basu if Choshamin and Lo Lab Dafka if Chod Rav Yossi the brisa have you come on Matsnisa the also Darko Lishtaber. He still says that it's also in certain situations. However, he's more machmir than the Tanakam of this brisa. So that's what it means. In any event, the Tanya, we learned in this other brisa, Osa Mechitza Bekel Merikon, you're allowed to make Mechitza with empty vessels, Ubimalayan, Shein Darkun Lishtaber, and with full vessels, they're filled with water, as long as they're not likely to break. Ve'elu Malayan, and the following are full, Shein Darkun Lishtaber, are examples of utensils that are filled, barrels that are filled with water that won't break. Kli Matkis, the Tanakam says only if they're made of metal. Those won't break from the fire. So this is a Mal Machmir opinion that the only vessels that won't break are Kli Machris. And along comes Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi Omer, no, there are other vessels that won't break also. At Klei Kfar Shichin, U Klei Kfar Chananya, these are places where they made these vessels, and these were earthenware vessels that they made over there. Ain Dark and Lashtar, they won't break. So what do we see? That the opinion of Rav Yossi is the more makel opinion over here. Now, he does agree that you're not allowed to do Gram Kibui, so it's not a total, as I said, it's not a total ifcha, but he is the more makel opinion, and in our Mishnah, he's the more machmir opinion. So where it says, so switch it around. So switch around our Mishnah, and let the Mishnah, the attributed opinion that was given to the Tanakhama, to Rav Shimon Menanis, let that be Rav Yossi, the more makel opinion, and that will jibe with the Braisa, where Rav Yossi is the more makel opinion, and let the Chacham be the more machmir opinion. For Rav Yossi the Braisa, the Rain Kamar. And Rav Yossi the Braisa is saying, according to you who say that you're not allowed to do Gram Kibui, so fine, that's I allow you to use other vessels as well that will not break. Where it says, Umi Motzis Achrislan, that doesn't make any sense that you should switch around the opinion of the Mishnah, because we know that Rav Yossi is the opinion that says Gram Kibui is not allowed. Be'ama Rabba Bar Techlifa, Mishrei the Rab, that we know. Mantana Gram Kibui is also. Who is the opinion that says Gram Kibui is also? That's Rav Yossi. And therefore, you can't switch around the Mishnah, therefore you have to switch around the Brice or somehow reconcile the Brice. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Don't switch anything around. Leave everything the way you had it. Elololam lo tepo. The Mishnah is exactly the way we had it. The Rav Yossi is the more machmir opinion that says Gram Kibui is no good. In the Braisa, he seems to be more meiko. Well, Braisa is actually cooler of Yossi. It's all within the opinion that Gram Kibui is not allowed. And there is no machlokas in the Braisa. It's one opinion, Rav Yossi's opinion. The Chisur Mechzer of Achitoni. This is what we have to learn in the Braisa. It's missing some parts. And it goes as follows. The Braisa reads, Osi Mechitza Bekelim Rekonim Uvimleim. Shein Darkin Lishtaber. You'll have to make the Mechitza over here with empty vessels or even the vessels that are filled as long as they're not going to break. And what are examples of vessels that won't break? Vessels that won't break are clay matchas, are metal vessels. And also, this is still all Rav Yossi talking, not two opinions. Uklei kfar shichin, uklei kfar chananya, these earthenware vessels that are made in these two kfarim over here, in shichin and chananya, these two places, they made these earthenware vessels, it also won't break. Nami in darkon l'shtaber. Share Rav Yossi Omer. It's all one opinion that Rav Yossi holds. And therefore, there's no Gram Kibui. You're allowed to use it. But in general, Rav Yossi holds Gram Kibui. Fine. So we resolve that potential stira. But there's another brisa that seems to be another stira. The Rami, the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. The Rami, the Rav Yossi, the Rav Yossi. Again, the Rabbanan, who are more makel in our Mishnah, who hold Gram Kibui is allowed. Rav Yossi in our Mishnah says Gram Kibui is not allowed, is going to be in contradistinction to this following brisa. They're each going to seem to hold the other opinion. What's this other brisa? The Tanya. Harisho Yoshem Kosov Al-Basarov. The person has a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name written on his skin. And now he has to go wash it off. He wants to go to the mikvah. You're not allowed to wash it off. So what should he do? Harizelo Yerchotz. He shouldn't go wash his hands. Let it stay on. You can't go wash your hands where the shame is written. The shame of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Well, Yosuk, you're not allowed to anoint it over there because that will wash it off as well. And since you have the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu there, you're not allowed to stand in a place, but you're not allowed to say the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are rules about saying the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, if there's a tzoa there, if there's excrement there from human or from certain types of animals, or it's a other type of tinofis that's over there, so you're not allowed to stand there because the shame of Hashem will be in that area. Likewise, nizdam lo tvilo shel mitzvah, if you have to go to the mikvah, you're obligated to go to the mikvah, what should you do? So korech lo gemi, v'yoreit v'tovel. The Tanakhama says that you have to wrap around it some sort of a reed, and then you go in. In other words, you have to protect it. You're not allowed to cause Gram Kibbutz. This is the Chachamim's opinion, that you can't cause Gram Kibbutz. That the Chachamim in our Mishnah said you can cause Gram Kibbutz. That's Rami the Rabbanon and the Rabbanon. And now we have the second part of the Braisa, Rav Yossi Omer, nah, go into the mikvah, lolim yori v'tovu kidarko. Go into the mikvah in a regular way. You don't need to go and put the gemi, to put the band around it. It's going to rub off. We don't care. Gram Kibbutz is allowed. No, you're not allowed to rub it off. So you can't erase it yourself. You can't wipe it off. But if you're doing something that will cause it to come off, no problem. So Rav Yossi in the Braisa says Gram Kibbutz is okay. But Rav Yossi in the Mishnah said Gram Kibbutz is not okay. So therefore we have Rami the Rabbanon, the Rabbanon, and Rami the Rav Yossi, the Rav Yossi. So Gemara says, no. You know how we can reconcile over here? Shiny Hossam. In this Braisa that we just brought down with erasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, you know why Rav Yossi said you're not allowed to do that? There's a special pasuk that says you're not allowed to do that. The Yom HaKra, V'ibadetem Eshemam, Minamakom Mahu. Lo sasun kein l'shem lo keichem. So here the Braisa says asiyah hu diasur. Only in this situation are you not allowed to do it. But here there's a special dispensation to say that gram mechika is good. Grama is shari. So in general, Rav Yossi holds that gram kibuya grama is not allowed, with the exception over here that the pasuk tells us you're just not allowed to directly do it, implying you're allowed to indirectly do it. Where it says, if that's your reasoning, then he should allow Gram Kibbutz as well. Yochi, if this is so, that he allows Gram Mechika, then he should allow Gram Kibbutz also. Yochi, Hochanami Ksiv, it says, in regards to Hilcha Shabbos, Lo Sasek HaMelocha, Asiyah is not allowed. Asiyah Udi also, but Gram Ashari. So you should be allowed to do Gram Kibbutz. So we have a problem still. We don't have a good reason why Rav Yossi says that you're allowed to indirectly erase the Shem of Hashem. Gram Mechika is okay, but Gram Kibbutz is not. So we're left with our original question. Shmuel says, no. In fact, this would be correct. This drosha that indirect would be allowed. So why does Rav Yossi and Amisha say Gram Kibbutz is no good? Because Mitoksh Odom Bola Mamono, he says here, you have a fire going on in your house. If we allow you to do Gram Kibbutz in your turmoil, in your Bahala over here, you're going to go Yishar Islay. If we allow you to do this, Osi Lechabuya, you're going to end up putting out the fire. You're going to forget it's Shabbos, and you're going to put out the fire. And therefore, in this, and only this situation, is Gram Kibbutz not allowed. But based upon the Pesukim, Grama is allowed. That's why the Grama by the Mechikas Hashem is allowed. So that resolves the stira for Rav Yossi. But what about the stira of the Rabbanon? Ihochi, Kata the Rabbanon of the Rabbanon. In the Mishnah, the Rabbanon say you can't do Gram Kibbutz here. In the Braisa say you have to wrap the gemi around the shame. As we said, if even in a place where a person is mbohul amamono, he's in a great concern about his money, the Chacham say Gram Kibbutz is allowed. So certainly here, hachalokoshikate, in the case of the shame on his arm, why does he need a gemi? Certainly that should be allowed. He's not bohul at all. Gemara says, really? You think so? The Tizbara. Hoi, gemi, heichidami. What type of a gemi are we talking about? Let's understand this a little bit better. If it's really bound tightly so that the water can't get under there and erase the shame, so kohavi chatzitza. Then it would be a chatzitza. So that's valid. That's not a valid tefillah. It's not a good tefillah. So Gemara says, ilo mahadek, if it's not a good tight bound gemi, so then Ila b'maya. So it's not going to do anything. How does having the gemi there prevent the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from being erased? So Gemara says, really? Chatzitza? That's what you're worried about? Take blame Mishum Diyo. If you're worried about chatzitza, so then the ink itself would be a chatzitza between your body and the arm. So Gemara says, no, the ink's not a problem, because balacha, we're talking about where it's wet ink, it's a moist ink. The Tanya, because we've learned previously in a Braisa that dam, hadam, if you have dam or dio or ink, hadvash, or you have honey or chol, if you have milk, all of these, yaveshin, if they're dried up on your skin, chotzitzin, they do constitute a chatzitza. However, lachin, if they're lach, if they're wet, so then, ain't chotzitzin, they're not constituting chatzitza. So therefore, the dio is wet, it's not a chatzitza. So we'll have to do our question, the gemi is mikom mokom kasha, so what does the gemi do over here? It's not a chatzitza, or it is a chatzitza. Either way, it doesn't do anything. It's a chatzitza, so it's not a good tefillah. If it's not a chatzitza, so then you're erasing the shame of Hashem. So what good does it do? So Gemara says, you're right. El Oma Rova Bar Rav Shila. He says, Hainu Tamay the Rabbanon. This is the reasoning why in the Mishnah the Chacham say Gram Kibbutz is allowed, but here with the shame of Hashem, it's not allowed. The Kesavri also Lamo Bifnei Hashem Arum has nothing to do over here with Gram Mechika. It has to do with the fact that you put the gemi on and it's loose, so there's no chatzitza, but you're just covering up the shame of Hashem because the shame of Hashem shouldn't see you naked. Just like you can't have the shame of Hashem, we said in the Mokum Tinofes, you can't have the shame of Hashem visible when you're naked. Shmuel says, that implies, Rav Yossi, who didn't require a gemi, so if that's the reason, there's nothing to do with mechika, so then Rav Yossi says you're allowed to stand naked with the Shem Hashem? Samar says, no, you know what Rav Yosef said? He put his hand over it. Samar says, no, let the Rabbanim put the hand over it then. Why do they need a gemi? The Rabbanim, nami, demonach yodi ilave. So why did the Rabbanim insist on a gemi? Samar says, no, because zim in the mishdalei, sometimes you're going to forget, vishalkulei, and you're going to take your hand away. And all of a sudden, the shame of Hashem is going to be open to your naked body. So the Chacham were concerned. They said, put a gemi. This way you can't forget. The gemi's there. Samar says, no, Rav Yosef is not concerned about forgetting. Rav Yosef, nami, zim in the mishdalei. Sometimes you're going to forget, vishalkulei, you're going to remove your hand, and all of a sudden, the shame of Hashem is going to be open. So why doesn't Rav Yosef require a gemi? Samar says, you're right, Taka, that's a very good answer. So therefore, we have a problem. Elo, idika gemi, hochanami. If you had the gemi there, you would have no problem because the shem of Hashem is covered up. However, hocham mayaskinon lahadure gemi. You know what they're arguing about? Rav Yossi and the Chachamim, everybody agreed that if you have a gemi, you should put it on. This way you don't have to worry about that. Maybe you put your hand there, you forget, you'll take your hand away, and the shem of Hashem will be visible to your naked body. But the question is, if you don't have a gemi, you have to go look for a gemi. Lahadure a gemi. You have to go run around looking for a gemi. So, in that situation, do you have to run around to look for a gemi? The Chachamim say yes. And Rav Yosi says, no, in that situation, we can rely upon the fact that you cover it up with your hand. Rabbanan Savre, return to the Yom HaLev, the Rabbanan hold, Tfilo Bismana Lav Mitzvah. Since there is no requirement to go right away, right now, and therefore, you'll go later, Umadrina, and you'll go find the gemi. So therefore, you'll miss out the opportunity to go to Tefillah right now. You'll spend a couple of hours looking for the gemi to cover it up, and then you'll miss the Tefillah Bizmana. No big deal, because they hold Tefillah Bizmana is not a mitzvah. But Rav Yossi holds, Rav Yossi Sogar, Tefillah Bizmana mitzvah. You got to go right now. You don't have a choice. And therefore, if the choice is gemi or no gemi, so then they'll put a gemi on. The Shem Hashem is going to be visible, so cover it up with your hand. You may forget. We're not gozer in this situation. Because Rav Yossi holds, Tefillah Bizmana is a mitzvah of Lo Madrina, and therefore don't go look for the gemi, because it will cause you to delay doing the Tefillah. Really? The Gemara says, the Sover of Yossi, Tefillah Bizmana mitzvah, is that the opinion of Rav Yossi? But I'll show you from a long brisa that A Rav Yossi, we'll see it's not our Rav Yossi, we'll see that that's ultimately Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda, but it just says Rav Yossi in this Braisa, but we'll say ultimately it's not our Rav Yossi. But I'll show you in a Braisa right now in the Havamina that Rav Yossi doesn't hold the Tefillah Bizmana as a mitzvah. What's this Braisa? This Braisa is telling us Hazov, Yazova, if you have a Zov or a Zova, these are various types of discharges that come out of a man or a woman, a Mitzora, a person that's Tzoras, a man or a female Mitzora, Boel Nida, a person with Chmal Tzlan had relations with a Nida, or a person who's Tommy Mace, all of these people, Tfilosun Bayom, they have to go to the mikveh during the daytime, that's the din, and even, as Rashi points out, we're talking about where that day is Yom Kippur, they're allowed to go on Yom Kippur, because the only type of rechitza you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur is a rechitza shel tanug, Rashi says, and this is not a rechitza shel tanug, this is a rechitza shel mitzvah, and therefore it's allowed. And if you're obligated to do it, like the Tanakhama says, so then you have to do it even on Yom Kippur. Nida v'yoledes, these type of women, Nida or Yoledes, tfilos ha'malayla, they go at nighttime, and that, if it falls out on Yom Kippur, they're allowed to go even at that night for the same reasoning. A Balkari, there was Takonis Ezra, that a Balkari has to go to the mikveh before he davens or he learns. So that's also, all of these are tefillah bismana. These are all mitzvah tefillahs that have to be done ideally in the right time. And the Tanakhama holds it. It's a mitzvah to do them in the right time, even if it's on Yom Kippur. So Balkari, Tovu Vola Kol Yom Kulo. The Balkari also gets to go into the mikveh all day long because he's going to still have to daven. And therefore, he has to go to the mikveh before he davens. It's not called a tefillah of a rechitza shel tanug. It's a tefillah shel mitzvah. Now, here's what we introduce Rav Yossi. Until now, clearly, everybody held that tefillah shel mitzvah, you do bizmani, even on Yom Kippur. But now, along comes Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi Omer, no. If there's no need, because you could have already davened mincha on Yom Kippur, min ha-mincha l'mala, if you daven mincha on Yom Kippur, ain't tzarech litbo, you don't have to go to the mikveh. Wait till after Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah to go right now. Tefillah bizmana is not a mitzvah. You can go later on. And therefore, here you see clearly, Rav Yossi holds that tefillah bizmana is not a mitzvah. That's a stira to our opinion that we just showed, that Rav Yossi holds tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah, and that's why Lo Madrina, we said he didn't make him go after the gemi. So Gemara answers, no, it's the wrong Rav Yossi. Hi, Rav Yossi, Rav Yehudi. That opinion is not our Rav Yossi. That's a different Rav Yossi. That's Rav Yossi, the son of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda. He holds Yomer Daya Tefillah Bachrona. He holds that when you have multiple tefillahs to do, it's adequate, it's enough, if you just do the last one, and that can be Yotzi, all the other tefillahs that you were supposed to do. Whereas the other opinion, which is the opinion of our Rav Yossi, is no. When you have to do a tefillah, even though it's not going to change anything, you're going to have to do multiple other tefillahs as well. But you do a tefillah bismana, and therefore, lo mahadrin, and therefore, our Rav Yossi says, that's why you don't run after the gami. It has nothing to do with gram kibui, nothing to do with gram mechika. With this, we conclude today's shir.